This will not be a sermon, and I know it won't, because it's more of a commercial break. It's more about me than you. I ask myself, why am I a Lutheran? Okay, why am I Lutheran? And that was challenged by me back in 1970 when Father Snyder came to me and asked me to teach at Hilbert College. Do you know what he asked me to teach? World religion. I did not know a damn thing about it. Honest. But I did learn about Christianity. I did learn about Christianity. I want you to know that. I compared Christianity with all the religions of the world. And I want you to know something. Christianity is the only way. I will put my life, as many martyrs have already done it, on that line. I know in my heart that there is a God who loves me so much that he sent his son to die for me. Now, do you see all those names that I have there on your bulletin? I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to go to any Lutheran pastor this side of heaven and ask him if he owns a Bible. Now, you know what the answer is going to be. He better have a Bible. Then ask him if he has the Book of Concord. I will put my eternal life on that statement. They will all say yes. They will all say yes. Why? This is important for you to know that as Lutherans, you understand the Bible is the only source. Okay, nobody is above it. It's the Word of God. It's the only Word of God. The Book of Concord is not equal to it. No, we're not saying that. It tells you all about God's Word. And when was this all taken care of? Over 400 years ago. And I put those names in those people that signed them. Most of them are of the law. Most of them are of the law. Isn't that something? Try and get the law today to agree on a theological issue. It's not going to happen. It happened over 400 years ago. And guess what? If it wasn't right, don't you think somebody would by this time tell us that it's wrong? I'm telling you the truth. This is why the Bible is the Word of God. Now, I know the Mormons have the Book of Mormons. Right away, when you got to put something to the Bible to support the Bible, it's wrong. The Muslims, the Quran, wrong. This is the only Word of God, and in it has eternal salvation. And if it was wrong, don't you think by now they would prove it wrong? We are the New Testament, and we're still believing what our New Testament saints believed. And doesn't it give you a hope? Okay, that's my sale for the book. I never did use this before. Okay, now, this thing called transfiguration. Oh, when did you ever put up a transfiguration tree? When did you ever send out a transfiguration card? This is where the church has really failed, in my humble opinion. The transfiguration is so important. And I want you to know, going back to that study of religions, no religion except Christianity has a transfiguration. There is no other. You can talk about the death of a prophet. You can talk about the life of the prophet. You can talk about their word. But there is no transfiguration. Only the Christian church has it. Now, why? And this is where I really got to shine over this whole thing, because it's really kind of neat. I read the story. Here is Jesus, and here is Elijah, and here is Moses. Ask yourself the question, why? Why is that? Why? Why is Jesus with Elijah and Moses? Ask yourself that question. Because I'll tell you why you're a Christian. I'll tell you why you're a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian. I love life. And I love abundant life. I don't have it yet. That's a gift that's going to be given to me. Abundant life. But I like life. I like it a lot. And I want to live again. The only way I'm going to live again is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, get back here. Here is transfiguration. I'm going to play Jesus. Here's Moses. Here's Elijah. Okay. What do you see about those two? You know what you see? Tell yourself. They're alive. They're alive. Do you understand that? That's proving what? How powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. They're alive. And I don't know if you know about this here. I told you about Elijah going to heaven in a whirlwind. Did you know about Moses? He died. You read in the book of Deuteronomy. And the Israelites went to look for his grave. And guess what it says in Scripture? They couldn't find it. You know why? There isn't any. When Jesus Christ is the undertaker of our life, there's never a grave. There's never a grave. That's why this transfiguration is so important. And this is what I like about it. Back in when I became a pastor many years ago, we were in the green hymnal. Do you know when they had transfiguration in the green hymnal? August 6th, way back here. They finally smartened up and put the transfiguration of our Lord where it should be, in my humble opinion. And they did it during my life, and I love it. Because now in the new hymnal, it's right before Lent, which is right before Easter. So, what is the transfiguration for you and me? Have you ever read that stupid book, and I don't mean it to be condescending, Moby Dick? It's about 600 pages, 42 chapters. If you want to read it quick, read the first three chapters and the last. I tried that and I flunked the test. But anyway, this is what the transfiguration is to the church. Here is Jesus. Here is Elijah. And here is, guess what's going to happen on Easter? You're going to see this Jesus Christ raised from the dead. You know what transfiguration is? Telling you the story before it happens. Isn't that great? This is the resurrection. This Jesus Christ. And he told me, he said, don't tell anybody till I rise from the dead. Isn't that incredible? This is the power of Jesus Christ to you and me. The transfiguration tells you, believe in the resurrection. Put your heart and your mind, your soul, your body, everything you own in the power of the resurrection. Because on Easter, and you know it's a very moving, even the nation moves. And you come together. And that's when you remember all those beautiful people that blessed you abundantly. And they're alive in Jesus Christ. And they're waiting for you. I'm going to have a little sidebar here. My mother died, I think, very young. I was kind of like a spoiled brat then, and I still am. And my mother loved me very much. And my sister, that's another story. My brother, another story. But me, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a pastor. Now, do you know what that does to a mother who has nothing, a divorcee, has nothing at all, but she has a son that's going to be a pastor. And she died the 15th of November, 1968. And it was the following August that I was ordained. She never saw me as a pastor that I can tell you right now she did. But she had that resurrection. I often said this to myself. My mother confirmed the resurrection in my heart and my life. I know. In fact, I've even done this many times, and I'm digressing, and I shouldn't do it. I've been with people that were going to pass on. I remember one time I was in a nursing home, didn't know anybody. And I had my collar on. I usually didn't do it. But anyway, they said, are you a priest? I said, no. Do you know Tim and Chris? That's my kids. And they didn't. But anyway, would you pray for our mother? I said, sure, anytime. So I went down there and said, well, she's dying. I said, oh, great. They said, what? I said, wonderful. I said, what's your mother's name? Let's call her Mary. I walked in there and the whole family is around there. I go up and I lean over and Mary. I said, Mary, this is Pastor Francis. I've been told that you're in the last chapter of your life. Good for you. I want you to do me a favor. And everybody's, here she's on her dying bed. She's going to get up and do you a favor. No, no, no. I said to her, Mary, when you get to heaven, you're going to see my mother. She's at those golden gates. She's waiting for me to come. I said, would you give her a hug and a kiss for me? And tell her that her son became a pastor. But make sure she's sitting down. I have given my mother hundreds of loves over the years with people. Why do you do that? It's because you believe in Jesus Christ as the hope of the world. He rose from the dead. He gives us life, abundant life, not just this life that's all sin and garbage and all that crap there. No, he gives us a glorified, hopeful life. And that's it. Now we got to get into something else yet. How about that? NFC and AFC. How about that there? You know, that was in the church way before the football was ever invented. Do you know that? That football, you know, the thing they kick around? Before the NFC was conceived, the church had it. You know what NFC stands for? Not for Christ. AFC, all for Christ. It's the division, plain and simple. There's no gray area. It's all for Christ or not for Christ. We are of Christ. Now, I'm going to ask another question, and this is me. And you're not going to get this from any other theologians because, you know, if I ask you the question, how many psalms are there? You know what you're going to say? 150. Everybody says 150. I say there's only 149. And the reason is it's in your bulletin. You see Psalm 14 and see Psalm 53? If you put them together, they're the close. Now, what are they? You know what it says in those ones? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I like it. Everybody likes the 23rd Psalm. Don't ever transgress that. I'm telling you as a pastor. But I like Psalm 14 and 53. It tells you the way it is. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. How many times haven't you heard that? I had a guy, I just loved him dearly. He and I were kind of like this. And I wanted him to join our church. I believed in the gospel. And anyway, he put his arm around me and he says, Pastor, I would certainly join your church. But I know so many of those people that are in that church, they're all hypocrites. And I turned to him and I said, there's room for one more. We're all sinners. Every single one of us. The good thing, you're not going to hear this from me, the good thing about being a Christian, you got to say you're wrong. Isn't that incredible? Because why? Christ died for the wrong, the sinner, you and me. I used to tell people, if you got a belly button, that means you're a sinner. I had a grandmother in my congregation. She said, my grandchildren are not sinners. I said, do they have a belly button? She said, yes. I said, that means they're a sinner. Look in the Bible. It says, if you have a belly button, you're a sinner. She can't do that. She, I knew she wouldn't look at him. Let's get into this here. The reason I put this down for you guys, I like this Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. It's really, really incredible. There are some differences, but the most important part is in this one, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We got to understand that there. I got to get away from this here a little bit. The newest issue of Life magazine today cost me $16. Did you know I paid for that, Mom? $16. It has 100 people who changed the world. 100 people that have changed the world. Remember Mother Teresa? Mm-hmm. Do you remember Martin Luther King? Do you remember the Beatles? That was our age, dancing, rocking around. How about Hitler? I was told one time there would never be a Hitler upon the earth again. That professor is wrong. It's here today. Anybody that's out after killing Jews is wrong. I'm going to ask, there's on the thing there. I'm going to ask you to please forgive me. You got a beautiful marriage. Have you agreed with each other on every circumstance?
No way.
Now, okay, now wait. This, I'm telling you the truth. People think that if you disagree with somebody, you hate them. That's wrong. That's how it's coming across. If you disagree with somebody, you hate them. No, no, no. I can prove it to you. Jesus loves us, but he hates our sin. How about that? How about that? So are you telling me my Lord is wrong? He hates our sin, but he loves us. We can disagree. And in fact, I remember one time we were at a church council meeting. And this one guy in my congregation, Carl Peters, he takes both his hands together. And he says, if two people agree on everything, one is unnecessary. It's the difference. It's the difference that we're all sinners under different layers. And we have it. So anyway, let's get back to this here. How about Roosevelt, Eleanor Roosevelt, great woman, wonderful, great woman. Gandhi, okay, he's here. How about Oprah? I grew up on her. You know, she should still have her program on. She was really good. These two clowns, I really don't know. I didn't want to look at them. But then, listen, there's a hundred ways. Then there's a picture of Jesus. I'm going to ask you the question, who really changed the world? Jesus. He changed your world, and he changed my world. And he came into this world to do one thing, change it. He wanted this thing called humanity in his life forever. And it cost him his life so that you and I can have eternal life. They should have a Life magazine that just has the picture of Jesus, the only person that changed the world. I bought this for $16. I'll sell it to you for $10. I told you this was a commercial. I got this on the internet. This is going to be my closing remarks. I got 22 and a half minutes to get you guys out of here. This is the closing remark. I found this on the internet. One of my members emails me. I shouldn't tell you this here, but I got members that are still calling me up, still talking to me. Can I brag about one of my members? Her name is Clara Strock. She plays basketball for Virginia Tech. We saw her on television the other day. The grandparents, who I married 50 years ago, call me up. And they say, Clara's watching, playing basketball. Turn it on, Pastor. We turned it on. We enjoyed it. I baptized little Clara. She's 6'6". Can you imagine that? Freshman at Virginia Tech. They're paying her to go to school. And one thing that they told, the announcer said, not only is she a good athlete, she's a good scholar, too. Yeah. She came from good stock, too. Really. I shouldn't put that in. But this is what I got on the internet, and this will be my closing remarks. It's called Go to Church Anyway. Hold on to your seats. If you are having sex before marriage, go to church anyway. If you are a drug addict trying to beat addiction, go to church anyway. If you are out drunk all night the night before, go to church anyway. If you aren't sure what gender you prefer, go to church anyway. If you can't quit that disgusting habit, go to church anyway. Church is a hospital for the broken, the lost, the empty, the confused, the desperate, the rejected. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Amen. 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 Thanks for that commercial break. Now I got to figure out where we are.